Welcome to the Perfectly Seen Show, episode 301. I am Chris, as always, joined by Jeff.
Yeah, we lost two comrades after 300. They're dead. Killed in action.
But thankfully, you and Pete are also here.
Still alive.
On opposite sides, man. We're ready. Of all the two people to survive such an episode like this.
Man, it's gonna be tears.
So let's jump into games, I guess.
Had a list.
Yeah,
a lot of games.
I don't know what still applies right now since we're missing half the cast.
You were the only one that played Overwatch. So you want to tell us about Overwatch?
Sure. So the beta, the beta's been running since.
It's been going on for
August
a little
of last
while,
year,
right?
Maybe August to September of last year. It's been a closed beta, and they have been letting in a very select amount of people. Like in my friend's group, only maybe about three or four of them have gotten in. Like it's just not. Excuse me. Ooh. It's not a very widespread thing. At all. But every once in a while, they have these beta weekends that are designed not for, like, balance testing and things like that, but more to just stress test the servers.
Right.
And stuff like that. And so, yeah, I played, I think, 2 days in a row of Overwatch. Like, because the only other time I had touched it was when I was at BlizzCon of last year, and I hadn't gotten to play. So it's probably one of my more anticipated games this year. So yeah, it's fun. I mean, if you're into like but it's very Team Fortress 2-y in all of its modes. Like did I ever put up that impressions article?
No.
No, I don't think I did.
It's objective based though, right?
It
can be.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it's not deathmatch. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Is there a deathmatch mode or?
No. The modes that exist. There were three maps in this stress test, and each one was basically a different, what do you call it, mode.
Okay.
One was like a best 2 out of 3 King of the Hill type map, where
okay.
Point would be at the center of the map, and you would and your team would compete to have control of it. First team to reach 100% control wins, but then it would move into another section of the map with another control point and stuff like that. That's probably one of the better ones because those would lead to like probably the longest matches in the game, and by longest I mean like 10 minutes maybe.
Oh, really?
Not that, 10,
that's
maybe
not,
15.
That's not long.
No, not at all. I mean, it's they're fairly short, all things considered. I mean, the other modes are like attack and defend, control point, and then something very similar to, almost not similar, it's exactly Team Fortress 2's payload mode.
Okay, so where you're like moving something across
like
map.
Like a mine cart to different checkpoints and stuff.
Right.
And stuff. So yeah, I mean that's probably my least favorite because it's literally just taken out of Team Fortress 2, and so it feels kind of boring. And the map was kind of plain looking. It was like a desert, like Route 66, like old like trucker diner like aesthetic and stuff. And that was fine, but part of me was just sort of like compared to the other maps, which was like a wintry like Nepal setting, and then the attack and defend control point map was set in Japan. Like those were all very colorful and unique in their own way. Like this was all just like meh. It felt very plain and boring. I didn't play all the heroes. There's 21 different characters in the game. I played 2. Sometimes I played a third, but I mainly went back and forth between Tracer, who's the one that you've seen on all of the advertisements. She's the mascot basically of the game.
Okay.
And she's a very like fast-paced character. She moves very quickly, and has like time manipulation powers. So there's like a cool thing where like if you get injured, like if you wind up in a situation that you are going to die in, you can press the E button, to almost like rewind yourself about for about 3 seconds, and so it'll put you back to the same health and position you were at 3 seconds ago. So that stuff's kind of cool. And then I played as Pharah, who's been generally considered to be the most broken hero in the game.
Like in a good way?
Maybe. She's very unique in the sense that she can fly.
Okay.
So the game is, you know, to get into like weirdly technical about things, is like, you know, played on a very horizontal plane, right? You know,
right.
Everybody's
like
more or less
shooters.
At the same level of elevation. I mean, some people can get up on top of things, this and that, but Pharah, she has this ability that launches her straight into the air, and then she can hover there for about 10 seconds. And during that time, like, she's not unreachable, but she's out of, like, everybody's periphery. And she deals an incredible amount of damage with her rocket launcher, and her ultimate ability also does an incredible amount of damage. So she's unique and just sort of hard to deal with.
She has, like,
they've been trying
rain
to
terror down.
And stuff. Yeah. And so they've been trying to – I'm not exactly sure how they can fix her necessarily.
Probably nerf her rockets a little bit. And
I think they have,
because
I think she used to do a lot more splash damage than she did. So it's interesting. There are a bunch of other characters that I thought about playing, but they're all really slow or they're tanky and stuff. But you see a good variety. It's not like any one character is not played or everybody picks this one character. Because unlike other like MOBA games, you just pick the same amount. Like, you can just have a team that's all Winstons, which is like the gorilla, if you want, and that's actually pretty hilarious. And stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, it's fun. It only lasted a couple of days, which was sad. But there's an open beta that starts tomorrow? Shit, actually, I think it might start tomorrow if you pre-ordered the game.
Okay. And the game's not too far out from release,
but,
right?
No, it's less than a month at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember if there's anything else on that list I played. I'm still playing Enter the Gungeon, even though I think the more I play it, the less I like it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just kind of boring looking after a while. It doesn't have a whole lot of like visual variety compared to games of similar genre.
I played something similar to Overwatch, I guess, in Battleborn.
Yeah, those are the big two.
I can't distinguish the two in my head, so.
Well,
it's like Borderlands and the others doesn't, I guess.
Yeah, Battleborn is basically Borderlands. Like, it has that same kind of shooting mechanics, same sense of style and attitude. I don't want to call it humor.
That stopped being funny a long time ago.
Yeah, I didn't find anything about it humorous, but definitely like that type of like kind of sarcastic attitude that that mocks the player in a way. I only played the story mode of what I played of Battleborn, so I didn't try any of the multiplayer stuff. And what I played of the story mode, when, I guess it's co-op, you'd be able to play with other people, but what I played of that, I did not like, and I quickly deleted it from my hard drive, so won't be playing any more of that. It felt way too much like Borderlands. Without any sort of persistence to it either.
The fact that like you start back at the beginning,
yeah,
done, seems really weird.
Yes, it's like, so you go through, and I mean, the level was long. I played for about an hour, and I still hadn't finished it. But so that's nice. Like, I guess if you're looking for some, like, you know, beefy stuff to play, like, it'll come with five missions, I guess, to start with. So if they're all about an hour, it's 5 hours, and then they're going to keep launching episodes for the single player stuff as it goes. But I mean, it just felt like a really, like, if Borderlands had even less personality than it does. So I did not like it at all. I don't think I'll be continuing on with that at all, so
yeah,
there's that. But Jeff and I played Doom.
Yeah.
I don't know how much Jeff actually played. I did not play much either, but
I meant to and then totally forgot about it.
I played like 3 or 4 matches.
We're on about the same level. It was okay, I guess.
It was any fun?
I think the movement and the shooting feels off. Like, I don't know. I hope that it doesn't feel that way for the campaign. Like, I'm sure like it might be those same exact mechanics, but it felt off in the multiplayer setting to me. Like, I don't know.
Like, what felt off about it, Jeff?
It's hard for me to say what it is. And I'm not a huge shooter guy either. It's just, it felt, I don't know, clunky or something. Like,
it moves fast. I kind of agree with you. It moves fast, but
I like that. That I do appreciate.
Like doing anything in it, like shooting, did not feel particularly satisfying. And for whatever reason, it does not use a standard shooter control configuration on a controller. Which, I mean, it's been pretty standard for, like, the last decade.
I mean, and I don't blame them for trying to change that, because, I mean, even Halo in different iterations has moved some buttons around and stuff. And
they do. It's just, why is not Switch Weapon Y? Come on. It's for every game, it's what it
is. Yeah, like, I think that was the thing, right? Like, why would throw a grenade, and it's like, I'm trying to, like, switch a weapon, but it's actually where, like, on most games would be where the grenade is. It's been switched with this other, so like I was accidentally tossing grenades and couldn't switch weapons when I didn't have ammo. It was a little frustrating. I did okay, like in the.
It's way better than me.
Yeah, like, I went like 21-8 at one point, and which is pretty decent. Like I generally don't do that in most shooters. It was weird. Like there was. There were two modes, I think. One was just regular straight-up deathmatch. And then there was another one, which was, like, King of the Hill, but the hill was on, like, a track, so it would move. So your team would go and gain control of the hill, but it would move, like, around the map. So you could either kind of move with it and protect it or kind of go out and kill things until the other team took it and...
Isn't that like Halo? Didn't the hill always change in Halo?
Yeah, but I mean, no, it's like literally moving nonstop. Like
moving around.
It's not like, hey, you capture it and then 10 seconds later you get
No, it's on like think of it as a like kind of like a minecart that is moving around the map and like you need to hold control of it for X amount of time. It was weird. Like it was really weird. And it took me a little while to figure out exactly what was going on. The good thing was nobody else knew what the hell was going on.
Yeah, so, that sounds disorienting. So,
there was one cool thing that I did like about it, though, is there's these icons on the map that you can pick up, and it'll turn your guy into a demon who has these, like, you've probably seen it in I think it might be on one of the covers, or, like, it has the two shoulder rockets, and it's, like, the big kind of oversized guy. You hit these kind of like icons on the map and you'll turn into a demon for X amount of time, and like you can wreck some crap with that. Like they're super overpowered. There's only like one of them at a time, so
it's like a juggernaut.
Yeah, I would think something like that, like except like your weapons are like super powered and your melee is like even stronger, so you definitely wreck some stuff with that. It was fun playing as that, but that was about it. There's tons of customization options, but it all kind of looked the same to me.
I hate how like your character looks in it. Like it's just dumb looking. It looks like a
bad Halo model.
Yeah, like it's like a C-level like a budget fucking Halo or something like.
Yeah, like somebody was like, hey, let's make a game with Spartans, but we can't make game with Spartans, so...
Here's generic Space Marine.
Well, yeah, we'll just make, like, the shittiest Spartan, we'll call it Doom.
I don't know, I can't bring myself to be excited about that game anymore.
Well, it seems like, because they did, like, a live stream on Twitch of the single-player campaign yesterday, and, like, from people watching that, they said it looked good. So, okay. I don't care about the multiplayer in Doom.
I've never been a Doom multiplayer. Yeah. I know people love Doom multiplayer and Quake multiplayer. That's never been my type of thing, so.
I do find, like, old-school, fast-paced shooters like that, though. Like, their single players, I think, are fun. To me, anyways, I like that stuff. So I'm, like, holding out hope, despite the fact that there's certain things I don't like. Like, I hate how everything I see of it looks orange. Like, just the whole world looks like yellow or orange. It's like, where's the color palette here?
Yeah, there was, and in the, it didn't help in the beta either. Like, it was very orangey across the board for everything. Like, lots of fire, lots of lava, lots of orange metal.
I mean, it's, I guess it's better than brown and gray, but like, I want some variety in the environment. Like, I don't know. We'll see. I'm getting it. I have it pre-ordered. It's bad timing, though, because, like, Uncharted moved up right up its ass.
Yeah.
And Uncharted, you know, it's going to be fantastic. So it's like...
Yeah,
buddy. But I'm still, like, I like old-school shooters, so I'm holding out hope as a campaign.
But does it feel like old-school in the way that Duke Nukem Forever tried to be old-school?
No. It feels better than that. Like, it's super fast-paced. Like, you move so quick.
Yeah, like, it's like...
slider,
like,
is all the way up on movement.
Duke Nukem Forever felt like it was just kind of stuck in time. This feels like an update of... It's weird. It's kind of like one of those things where it's like, it feels like you're playing Doom, but if you were to go back and play Doom, you're like, oh, this doesn't play anything like that. It gives you that, like, nostalgic feeling, but it's actually been modernized.
More than you'd think, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. It's debatable on whether or not what mileage you'll get out of that. But
it doesn't feel like a 14-year-old or a game that's been in development for fucking ever or anything like that. Like,
right.
Although I have to admit, I did enjoy parts of Doom. It's a bad game, but there were, like, certain levels I kind of liked, but whatever.
Yeah, that kitchen level was great.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I didn't play enough much more than that to say much more.
We'll see. You're going to get it. So I'm going to be skipping it until it's cheaper, but
yeah, that sounds like a game I'll buy when it's $20 or something.
Yeah, I because like Jeff, I really just want to play the campaign. So $20, I think if I can get it later on, like, I'll just plop down and get it then. We also played a little bit of the Halo 5 Warzone Firefight beta. Jeff played it without a headset because his cat ate his headset.
Yes, he did.
Wait, what?
He, like, ate through the cord completely to where, like, when I went to pick up my headset, it was just like half a cord hanging there, and the rest of it, like, on the floor or something. Yeah.
What did you think, Jeff? Because I had actually heard a bunch of it before.
I think I'm rusty at Halo. I was not very helpful or good. I like that type of mode in a game.
Like where you cooperative play. And
yeah. I do like it. I liked it more, I think, in Halo Reach. And I liked, like, completely different series and everything. But, like, I liked what that type of mode in Advanced Warfare. I like when you're, like, protecting a smaller area than...
Yeah, it's...
This is not a Warzone map. It's, like, a huge map. Well,
and they... I think they picked the biggest Warzone map, too, for us to play on. I'll be in... Like, they introduced a new map. I think it was called Assault at Darkstar or something like that. That is the fourth Warzone map that came out recently. And that is a very condensed map, and I think that would actually be more fun to play that on. So,
yeah, I like when it feels like you're defending an area from these waves that are coming in, and here it's just like, it's kind of like Warzone where it's like, oh, go over this way, go over this way, go over this way, and they were trying to find...
Yeah, so some of it, I mean, I think we actually failed at the point when it was like, defend the base. So,
yeah. Yeah, it does. I like that it does kind of change things up in what you're...
Yeah, it's like, you know, here, it's like, I don't know, we played a bunch of matches, but, like, the first thing that dropped us in, like, go kill a bunch of, like, crawlers. So, like, you have to hunt, like, 100 crawlers, and then that round's over, and then it was like, defend the base! It was like, okay. Unfortunately, we had some people that weren't helping us at all, and it's definitely tuned for 8 players. It's not hard, but it's tuned for 8 players, so, you know, if you're fighting with 4 or 5, it's not quite as easy.
I was like a suicide bomber in that game. Like, I would just run into shit. And I remember one part, we didn't get to talk about this at all. I remember one point you yelled at me for running away. You're like, Jeff, don't run away. Where are you going? And it's because I had run out of ammo and I didn't know where to get more ammo or anything.
Oh, yeah. So, you have to go to the rec stations. You just go there and it'll reload you for you.
Yeah, and something else I'm going to throw out there. I hate the rec system. Like, I didn't like it in Warzone. I don't want it in here. I don't like it at all. Like,
it feels like, as somebody who doesn't play Halo, like, it just feels like counterintuitive to the design of the mode.
I just don't like. I kind of get it. It's like, oh, if you save up the stuff throughout the match, you could maybe get better things. But it's all based on what random stuff that you have. Am I right?
Yeah. Yes, for the most part. Like, there are definitely permanent unlocks that you can get.
Oh, there are. Okay.
That, like, so you can you always start out with the assault rifle and the pistol. But you can also get permanent unlocks of the battle rifle, SMG, and the DMR. And you can start utilizing them at, like, rank 2, rank 3, and switching out your starting loadouts. And then the rest of it is definitely the randomized, like,
card-based.
Yeah, like, you have 25 Scorpion tanks. Do you want to drop one now? It'll cost you 5 of your power, like, and then that power actually fills up again pretty quickly, but...
I would be more okay with it if it wasn't, just, like, randomly, like, based on what cards you have, if it was more just, like, killstreaks in Call of Duty, where it's like, if you reach this level, this is what you could do, you know, like, if it was set and standardized more, like, I just...
Right, like, because, like, you could... be playing a lot, and if you're using your cards on a regular basis, you could actually reach a point where, you know, you're rec level 9 or whatever in the match, but you have no rec level 9 cards left. Like,
I one match I saved up all the way till I got to, like, level 6, and I went and looked, and, like, I didn't have any cool vehicles. I was like, what the fuck, dude? Fuck this system. Like, why? But I don't know. Generally, like, I like that type of mode, so it's cool that they're adding it.
Yeah, it's fun. I think they need to make some tweaks, but it was fun to play. It was fun to get, like, you know, because that's, like, one of the few modes that you can play with more than 4 people that doesn't require you to go into a custom game or something. And just being like, you know, you can get a team of 8 together and just go play by yourselves. Like, instead of having to play against other people, and killing AI is fun. So, I guess the last beta here, I played a lot of the Gears 4 beta.
Like, what is that?
It's multiplayer.
No, when?
It's on now.
Oh.
It's been going on. If you played the Ultimate Edition, it actually started last weekend. And it's going through May 1st.
Okay.
So through the weekend. It's Gears. If you like Gears multiplayer, it is more Gears multiplayer. They have 2 modes going in it. It is a team deathmatch, which is standard Gears. And then they have a new mode called Dodgeball.
I watched the giant bomb quick look on that. That actually seems kind of like a neat concept.
It's really cool. So your teams, it's teams of 5, 2 teams of 5, and it's 1 life per person. But if your team kills another person on the other team, it tags back in one of your guys. So they'll respawn at that point. So it's this, like, back and forth until you can completely eliminate the other team. It's been a ton of fun, like, playing that. Like, you know, if provided you end up on a team that is, you know, at least evenly matched or good. So if you're on a bad Gears team, it's worse than being on, like, a bad Halo team where you can kind of do things yourself, because Gears multiplayer is a lot of shotguns. Like people are really
roll up on somebody and
shoot. Like they roll up and will shoot you with the shotgun. And the Nasher is like a one hit kill for the most part. I can never seem to get it right, but other people are really good at it. And if you are in a bad team that doesn't know how to, like, utilize their Nasher, like, you'll get slaughtered in Like, I played rounds where it was over in, like, 40 seconds.
Like, jeez.
And the maps are pretty big, like, and it's a cover-based shooter, so, like, these teams are really good. Like, they also have a card system in play. It's a little weird. It's called they're bounty cards. I don't know how you earn them, though. I don't know if, like, they're just kind of testing it out here. But basically, you play a card, and it's like you are putting a bounty out for you're going to get 1,500 points in a match. And if you hit that, then you'll get, like, an experience bonus or you know, something like that. I don't really know how it works or how they're going to implement it in the final game, but it's a little weird right now.
I don't understand how, like, a thing that nobody likes is, like, suddenly, like, a new standard. And like, do you guys like the card systems? Like, I didn't like it in Titanfall, even. Like,
it was all right in Titanfall because, like, you could kind of, like, you build it up and all right, I'm going to bring in this or whatever. You didn't have to use them, though.
I just don't get how it's become that's, like, a standard. Like, it's, like, a new thing. It's, like,
I don't know. It's been going on for a few years now. Like, and it's not just, you know, I mean, Titanfall had it. Gears has it. Halo has it. Like, there's a bunch of games that Tomb Raider had a card system.
For no reason.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, it's out there all over the place, but
I don't like it. And it is obvious that it's, like, kind of inspired by microtransactions, you know? Like,
sure.
I don't dig it, but whatever.
Yeah, and
as long as I can ignore it, I'm okay.
Yeah, like, I don't think, like, and I don't think that the ones in Gears are going to impact anything. Like, it looks like it's just, like, for bonuses. Like, if you, it's like you can play, like, a card, like, get a victory, and it'll, if you do that, it'll give you a 300 point experience bonus on that match. But I don't know. But yeah, it's Gears. It looks fine. It plays fine. It's definitely a beta, though. Like, it's a little buggy at times, and menus are kind of shit right now. It's really hard to cancel out of a match. Like, I mean, you could just pick quit, but, like, once a match is over, normally there's, like, the option to just press, like, B to go back and bring you to the main menu. You actually have to, like, quit the lobby. You have to vote for your next match and then get your experience and then quit the lobby. So it's, like, really weird, but that might just be a beta thing. Let's see what else we got here. I finished Quantum Break, review coming on the site. I kind of wanted to talk about it with Tony, though, so we'll wait till he comes back. Jeff, you finished Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
Any final words to say on that?
I feel like I've talked about it. But I don't,
You've talked a lot about Dark Souls 3, so.
It's really great, and I'm playing through it again as a different character, as a pyromancer. Very magic-based. Like, I got, like, there's a thing you could do in Dark Souls where, like, when you kill a boss, you could either use the boss's soul to add to your experience, or you could transform their soul into a weapon. And on the magic, like, if you're playing as, like, a magic class, you could transform their souls into, like, really cool magic spells. Like, there's a one where I could hurl a huge boulder that comes out of my mouth.
Okay.
There's another one I just got now that actually does a lot of damage. Where I could throw, like, black magic on the ground and it goes towards the enemy like a snake. Like, it kind of, like, goes on the ground towards the enemy like a snake. So I'm having fun playing through it a second time as, like, a different type of character. And I don't know, dude, I really loved it. Like, I know I had some sort of, like, criticisms on first initial impressions of it, where I was like, it's not Dark Souls 2, and I got, like, kind of pissed, but it's fantastic.
I'm pretty sure you're the only person who ever, like, said something like that, too.
Well, I found one of our friends who did agree with me that Dark Souls 2 is, like, the best one, and that's Brian, so take that as you will. I mean, this is it's a great game. I'm saying for everyone on the podcast, it's, like, a must-play before the end of the year. Like, it's a game that I'm probably going to play all year, which is something I just don't do. I'll probably play through it, like, 3-4 times just as trying out different characters. And
And I do think that in some ways it is, like, it's a refinement of the series. It's probably one that will hook a lot of people that did not get hooked on it before, you know. It's a fantastic game. I don't know what else to say.
Well, Tony and I are going to restart Dark Souls 1 at some point, so.
I remember I told you to be, like, a warrior class or whatever, which I still am, but the one thing I forgot to add to that is, as soon as you can, as soon as possible, get a shield that does 100% physical guard. So as long as you have that shield up and you have stamina, like, if someone hits you, you don't get hurt. So, like, that way you can run into enemies and hit them and not be afraid of getting hit back as long as you hold up your shield.
Right.
But, yeah. I hope you guys did. Dark Souls 1's great. It's a little aged now, and I think that you guys would like 3 more, but, I mean, shit, it's free, so.
Great, yeah, we both already have Dark Souls 1, so. Yeah.
So, give it another shot, and like I said, I highly recommend. I find the magic class to be way more nuanced and way more, like, too many things you have to juggle. Like, you do still have to kind of a little bit build up your melee, because, like, you can't use magic for everything. It's just slower. So, like, if you're standing far away from something and you're trying to cast a spell and you don't cast it in time and then they close the gap on you, then you have to switch to your, like, axe or whatever you got, you know.
One, you have a limited amount of spells, too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so if you run out of spells, you're kind of fucked.
It's not like Dark Souls 1, though. The spells run on the focus points, so you can...
Yeah,
Dark Souls 3 can...
You definitely have many more uses of spells than...
And you can build it up, in 3 it's like a blue bar. And in the first one, it was like, if you had Pyromancy, you had like 10 casts of it. And there might have been a way to build it up, I don't remember. But...
Yeah, I remember there was like...
I think if you...
I remember starting out as a Pyromancer and I had eight charges of Fireball or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, honestly, like, I think going in as a warrior is so much less to focus on. You want to have good armor, you want to have a lot of strength to pound shit out of stuff, you know what I mean? And you want a lot of health and a lot of stamina. And I think it's an easier character to build and think about building. And I find it actually in some ways more fun to play. The only thing I love about the magic classes is, like, how cool the spells look. Like, there's one where I can, like, shoot, like, rain down magic from the sky and stuff. Like, you know, like, just really cool looking. But
right.
Ultimately, I think it's harder to play, despite people saying it's, like, an easy mode. And the spells are just weak compared to, like, once you have, like, a badass weapon and you can carry it well, you just run in on somebody and just fuck them up as long as you have a shield.
Is it that it's easy mode early on? Like, it's easy to... Like,
you could go from far away.
Yeah, and you can do more damage early on with the magic from farther away. You don't have to get close, but...
I just find Warrior to be more fun, too, just in general. Like, being able to just run in and fight stuff instead of having to stand back and, you know, cast spells. Like,
Tony and I are going to try it. I'm waiting for his go-ahead to say that he's started it up, so...
And I highly recommend you guys picking up... I'm sure 3 will go on sale some point during the summer or whatever. And, Peter, I know you're probably going to get 3 at some point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I gotta get through 2 at some point. I've been on break, but maybe once later in the year, once Game of the Year just comes out, I want to do Bloodborne before 3. So
yeah, I couldn't get into Bloodborne. Like, Bloodborne had great art style, but to me, having no shield is just so weird. I couldn't get over it.
Yeah, I mean, well, to me, I do my best to dodge, but I need the shield because I'm bad at the game.
Yeah, well, I guess that's me too, but, like, I don't like dodging. I like the idea of if you have a shield and it's proper and it's leveled up and all this, like, you can just stand there in someone's face and they ain't gonna do shit to you. And, you know, but it's a lot of people, like, at first, and me too, I would just forget to hold it up a lot of the times. You'd be like, oh, shit, I just got rocked. Yeah, but I don't know, man. I do think that, like, Chris, if you and Tony, like, give the series a serious try, like, you'll fall in love with it. It's just a fantastic atmospheric game. Like, just, and the people build up the hard aspect of it way too much. Like, yeah, it's a little hard, but it's so rewarding.
Well, also hard, maybe more frustrating than hard, was that final boss battle in Ratchet.
Yeah, how did you finally, like, tackle it? Because there was a specific way that finally worked for me.
I just flew around the entire time. And
yeah, me too.
You almost have to, like, because he keeps dropping mines on the platforms. And
well, I moved around a lot. Like,
I would stay at one platform.
No, see, I didn't do that at all. I was always in the air, and I would go land on the platforms to grab ammo and health. Mm-hmm. And fuel, and then as soon as I got all three of those things, I went back to the air, and I would move to the next platform. And then finally, when I got them, like, when I finally did, I was just unleashing on them the whole time with, like, just holding down the trigger constantly, and, like, it chipped away at them. The other cool thing is about those platforms, like, say you go to one, and you clear out all its ammo and health.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a minute, one box.
Oh, yeah, they respawn. Yeah, that's why I would just stay at the one base.
Well, that's why I just kept mobile, and I knew if I could keep darting between them, I would always have something to go to for to replenish the things I needed, you know. So
were the flying warbots were they respawning at each of the locations for you?
I didn't fight anything, so I don't know. Like, I would just go in and
so you didn't have any warbots like floating around the platforms?
What are warbots?
They're like the big kind of bulky guys that'll shoot.
Yeah, you. Yeah. I would just land in and avoid them.
Oh, okay. So they were there. So like, so I cleared out the one platform, and then like they wouldn't respawn unless I went to the next platform. So
oh,
I just cleared it out, and then I kind of flew around Nefarious and shot them, and then would drop down once you know the ammo crate came back and health crate came back and. And I would get some fuel and
see. I avoided them entirely. I did have problems with near the end. He would throw like these purple balls or
something. Yeah, the homing.
Those got me a few times. There was one time I had him at 2% health, and I was like trying to switch out weapons and stuff because I was like out of ammo and everything, and like I just fucked up, and those balls hit me, and I was so mad. But the very next time I fought him, I destroyed him within like less than 2 minutes. Like I just fucking destroyed him. So, but yeah, it was a pretty fucking tough final boss for like a game that is not very difficult through most.
Yeah, no, that game is not hard up until that point. I think we talked about it what 2 weeks ago when it came out that it was like I felt it was really very much a remake, like almost shot for shot remake of the
levels. Yeah.
Like about halfway through that kind of changes.
Oh, really?
And it's not like you still go to some of the same locations, but it definitely does a little bit of a change, and you're doing some different things. And
Nefarious isn't in the first game, so
that's what I was just gonna ask. The final boss is not the same then.
No, it's not Drax or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Isn't Nefarious is in the first game? I think
he doesn't appear until the third one.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm playing Ratchet, like the original Ratchet. I'm playing it now. I'm pretty sure he's in it.
What are you playing that on? The collection?
Yeah, on PS3.
Let's see. Yeah, first game was Up Your Arsenal, which is the third one.
Well, I'm just saying, like, did you recall like that final boss fight, or do you recall the final boss fight from the original?
It's Drax or something.
I recall that final boss fight. I don't remember if it was in that Ratchet game or not.
I don't remember what his name is.
Well, there's like
Drax is the guy that he's the guy trying to take over all the planets and stuff.
Yeah, and he has like a machine or a mech or something. That's what he uses in the final boss fight of the first game.
Hmm.
Excuse me.
Drax.
Jesus Christ. That.
Not Drax.
That. There we go. I was like, why isn't Drax showing up?
Yeah, I mean Nefarious is a better villain anyway. But
yeah, now he was, unfortunately they realized that and then they stuck him in like every goddamn game. After, like, wasn't he in like half of the Future series as well? I think
he was in parts of the Future series. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he was in like Into the Nexus and like All for One. And I was like, guys, what made him good was not that he was in every single Ratchet.
I mean, All for One was weird in and of itself, and you could play as Nefarious in that game, so that was a weird game.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely mixes parts of 1, 2, and 3 into this kind of remake, reimagining, or whatever it is. I don't know. It's really fun. It's really pretty. We talked about that, so
I loved it. Like, it's definitely like pretty much locked in my top 10 of the year right now. So
I do hope that, you know, this is kind of like a stepping point for them to do something else with the series and make more of them.
I heard it was pretty successful, so
good.
Like, good. Pretty good sales out of the gate, and that's good. That's a good sign that they'll do more then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the Ratchet games have always done pretty well, so they were definitely the best-selling of those Sony platformers, so.
Yeah, the Pantheon.
They did stumble kind of last couple years, though. Like, the future ones were good.
They did the Nexus, and they had, like, a tower defense one, and then, like, All for One and stuff like that. It was just like, okay, well, you're not even making the Ratchet and Clank games people want to play anymore.
Yeah, well, Into the Nexus was a full-on Ratchet game. It was like half of a Ratchet game, but it was also at a budget price. It took place after the future games, so it was like a full-on sequel. But yeah, there was a bunch of weird stuff, like was it Full Frontal Assault, which was the tower defense thing, and All for One, that was the weird kind of like four-player co-op thing. It was really strange, which isn't what people want out of a Ratchet game. So, good. I'm glad it's selling well. So, well, hopefully, I don't really know. Jeff, before we move on the news, tell us about Star Fox and Star Fox Guard.
We'll start with Star Fox Zero. It's I hated it for a good portion of it, and then as I got deeper, the levels get like a lot better, which is really strange. Like,
yeah, I think you said the last couple levels were really good.
Yeah, like the last two levels were fantastic. They were like what you wanted. The other problem is the controls are such a steep learning curve, and probably a bad idea overall, but like at the end of the day, it did give the game something different about it, in that like it feels different, man. Like, it's very much a like, this is your most Star Fox game since the 64 one, but it, like, those controls like added a layer to it that made it feel different. And once you got used to it, it was, I really torn on it. Like, I don't love them, and I could do without them, but as just a one-off in the series of trying something different, I kind of appreciated it at some point. So what they do is, instead of you just using the stick to fly and aim, they separate, you know, steering, flying, and aiming. You're flying the ship with your left stick, and you're aiming with the gyroscope and the gamepad. It's like trying to, like, rub your tummy and pat your head at the same time. You know what I mean? It's like pulling your brain in different directions. You know what I mean? But it allows them to do some like new layers to the gameplay. It's really weird, dude. Like, sometimes you get in a dogfight with one another person, right? And the camera on your TV screen will go into, like, a cinematic view, kind of like GTA, how you can switch into that cinematic view, which is really disorienting to fly a spacecraft around in. But you kind of need to use the gamepad anyways at that point to aim at the guy you're trying to shoot at. And so it just becomes like you're using the gamepad, like solely looking through that cockpit view, and then glancing up at the screen to just get like a cool view of the fight that you're in. Because if you try to use the TV screen, like, it's fucking bonkers. Like, you're just like from a camera situated far away, and you're trying to steer your craft around. It's weird, you know. I don't know, dude. It's a fucking bizarre ass game, but I don't know. Like, I think if you're a hardcore Star Fox fan and you give it time to learn the controls, like, you'll be okay with it. But it's definitely, like, most people, like, I'm not recommending it to either of you guys. Like, you know, in most people's cases, it's a, this is a totally optional, like, passable game.
I mean, that's what it looked like. And, yeah. Like, I don't even know what being a hardcore Star Fox fan means anymore, because, like the only two games that were ever, like, of a similar genre were, like, the original and then 64.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, what does that even mean?
And all three of them are kind of the same game, like, in a way. Like, Star Fox 64 is kind of a remake of Super NES one, and this is a callback to the 64 one, you know, like, but this one does have that, like, the only new different thing is the control scheme, and, like, I get why Miyamoto, like, would push for it, like, because it adds something interesting in a way, but it's so...
alienating?
Yeah, it's so hard to get used to, and honestly, though, a lot of the first, like, earlier levels are kind of boring and shitty. Like, it doesn't get good until halfway through, and this is a short game. This is, it took me maybe 4 hours, which is longer than you, like, you could beat 64 version in one playthrough, like, 1 hour, you know? I don't know, man. It's definitely, in my opinion, it's not a $60 game, and it's not, like, it's like a rental at best if you own a Wii U. I enjoyed it. I'm happy I played it. But again, I don't feel it was worth the asking price, even with the extra game included. Which, the extra game, like, it comes with its own box and its own disc, and it feels like a mini game that should have just been available from the start menu of Star Fox Zero.
Okay.
Yeah. So have you guys seen anything on the Star Fox Guard game?
No.
Nope.
Alright, it's very basic. It's like a base, like a picture, like a hedge maze. Like, if you're looking at the map from above. But anyways, so it's like a base with cameras all over it. And your TV screen has all the cameras on it. There's, like, I think 12 cameras on display. With the camera that you're focused on as a big box in the center of the screen. You look at your gamepad, which has a map of the base, and you tap on which camera you want to view. And all you're trying to do is stop robots from coming in and attacking the core of the base. That's all it is.
It's a tower defense game.
Yeah. It's a tower defense game, and it's very basic, but, like, it's like a neat use of the gamepad, where it's like you're looking at a bunch of – it's like you're like a security person. Like, you're looking at a bunch of cameras, and you have to choose which one you want to focus on to attack these robots that are coming in. It's like, fine, and it's fun, and like I said, though, it should be, like, just, like, a mode you could play for fun for 5 minutes. Like, the fact that they gave it its own disc and all this shit, like, it's really not that much. But whatever. I mean, I guess it's a nice bonus for people who, like me, were suckers and bought Star Fox Zero for $60.
Right.
Else, but... I mean, they're kind of overselling what that is. Like, I don't feel that's a full game. It's like a mini game. All right.
Real quick, I forgot to mention, new Hearthstone expansion came out on Tuesday. And with the more exciting thing about that was the idea, the release of formats. So now they're changing what cards you're allowed to play in, like, the competitive realm, and stuff like that. So, I mean, if you're into Hearthstone, you probably already know at that point, but it's fun. The game is interesting to play again.
There you go.
It hadn't.
That's a good thing,
time.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're doing news?
Yeah, let's do some news.
Okay. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 items, and then 4 items. The last 4 are all related. But all right. Well, we were talking about Call of Duty before.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Call of Duty now.
Okay.
There have been rumors on GAF and their Twitter account about the rumored, like, what they're doing with the new Call of Duty. Some names have been saying that it's called Infinite Warfare. That it's
I bet you
terrible
that's right.
Name. I really hope
really,
it's all
really
that.
You think it's terrible?
It's so bad.
That's the worst
I like
name.
It.
No,
I like it. It's like, we're going to the extreme now.
It's that's
so
exactly
dumb.
That's exactly why it's dumb. Like,
well,
that sounds
Call
like
Call of Duty's dumb. Call of Duty's yeah, stupid at this point.
That's fair.
I
yes.
mean, yeah, I'll give you that much, but that doesn't.
You know what? It if it's as dumb as the title, maybe that'll be like
be great.
Yeah, maybe if they're just going completely bonkers with it, like, because I don't know, Black Ops 3 took itself so seriously. Like, even Advanced Warfare, which was kind of fun, but
now it only makes sense if there's like a mode where you have infinite ammo, or you can play as like Tony Hawk.
It's just like war forever.
Right?
Infinite warfare forever. Like, the game doesn't actually end. It just keeps going. You die. It's like Groundhog's Day, but for war.
Yeah, but, yeah, so there's... And then it might include a remastered edition of Modern Warfare.
Yes.
I think that's a really smart move. Because, one, I've heard people rumbling, like, how they want the first one, like, Call of Duty 4... to be, like, remastered for new gen. And honestly, to me, the fact that they include this with it, like, it makes me want to get the new one, because I really did, like...
Yeah, man, it's the only reason I would get the new one, because, like, yeah. I think I'm done, like, with new Call of Duty, so...
But here's the thing, is it actually going to be remastered, or is it going to be, like... You know how, like, when you bought, like, say, Dark Souls 3 for Xbox One, you got a code for, like, basically just the 360 version of...
I think they'd have to remaster it, right? Because, like... Because like,
for PS4,
yes.
They don't have backwards.
Yeah, they don't have... They can't give you, like, the PS3 version of Modern Warfare,
but
so...
What if it's just a cheap and dirty port where, like, they do nothing with it?
That is
just
a distinct possibility.
Which, God, I
like,
don't
they just made it so that it can run on the new hardware or something.
Because I'll be honest, dude, if, let's say they did like a full-on remake of 4, they could put that out as the Call of Duty this year, and it would sell better than it sold in like the last 2-3 years. Like, it would get me on board. I'd be like, hell yeah, dude, I love Call of Duty 4, you know?
Yeah, sure. It would actually get me interested in it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Would it include multiplayer, or would it just be a remaster
of
the...
I think it needs to include multiplayer,
to.
Right? Like, if it doesn't have the multiplayer...
Aren't they just going to compete with themselves, then?
Well, I mean, it'd be the same game. Like, you just have it... What you do is you have Call of Duty 4's multiplayer incorporated into whatever your new game is.
So it has, like, all those maps and stuff, and...
Yeah, and, like, there's, like, a specific Call of Duty 4 playlist.
Okay.
Like, where you would just choose it from there so that, like, oh, I played some Call of Duty 4 on that playlist. Now I'm going to go play the Infinite War stuff, like the new maps, the new modes.
I'm genuinely be excited for it. And honestly, if it is true that you get Call of Duty 4 in no matter what form, I'll probably get it. Especially since I don't have anything else to buy this fall, apparently.
Nope.
Just out there.
we'll get to that.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I don't know. I think it needs to include the multiplayer, though. Like, if it doesn't, that's super disappointing.
You know, it wasn't like an amazing game because of the...
Like, there are definitely iconic
like campaign levels, except for maybe the very
stuff.
Ending. But
yeah, I mean, there's parts of it. Like, there's the ghillie suit stuff, like, you know. That whole Chernobyl level is pretty good, but there's nothing in there. I guess there's the, you know, that was shocking, I guess, the first time, though, where you're in the helicopter and you die.
Yeah, like the nuke goes off or something.
Yeah.
Like
that. Yeah. That was, but they've done that about, you know, 9 other times since then, so it's
that was the time, though. That was a huge
moment.
At
the time, it was major, yeah.
Like, I remember bringing the game over to a friend's house and making him play just that level. Like, I brought my system over and everything. Like, dude, check this out. So, I don't know. It's a great game. Whatever. Yes.
Sure. I could be on board with that. We'll see. What else we got, Pete?
Street date of Uncharted 4 Broken in the UK.
Oh, yeah. This is an interesting one.
Yeah, an undiscovered number of copies were stolen, like, off the shipping truck. And so the game is just, like, out there in the UK, which means, like, all the spoilers and information is out there and stuff. Yeah.
I'm going to avoid all of that if I can.
No, I am too. Yeah, I mean, the game comes out soon enough that I can wait.
Yeah, it's only, like, 12 days away.
Yeah, So, you know, copies of the game are being sold upwards of 90 euros, which is $131 on eBay.
Nope.
I could wait. Very much so.
Yeah. Says, Eurogamer has spoken with an eBay seller who claims H&M Review and Customs, the UK Armed for Responsible Tax Collection, has seized some 10,000 copies of the games, citing unpaid VAT, which is a type of international tax.
Yeah, value-added tax.
Thank you. So, basically, they're doing what they can to
track that.
Them and get rid of them, yeah. And stuff. Yeah, so, I mean, the game comes out on May 10th, right? So,
yeah.
Like, you know, at this point...
That's a lot of copies of that game, though.
That is. That's quite a lot. Just sort of leaking out there, but...
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I had restarted the original Uncharted a little while ago, and I started continuing that this week on the Uncharted Collection. That series is fun.
Yeah.
Despite my issues with 3, like that series is a lot of fun.
Okay, there's a Persona 5 countdown where we assume that it ends on May 5th, 8 a.m. 8:30 Eastern time, where one would assume the release date is being announced.
Okay.
I was going to say, it's going to be a release date announcement, and it's going to be 2018.
No, the game was delayed until summer of this year, so because it was the original release date was last year, but...
We all know about lies.
We do.
Yeah,
from Japanese companies.
The difference there is that I'd say one has a pretty track record of backtracking on all of their statements. I don't know enough about Persona to like actually back that statement up with any sort of truth.
I just find it funny, like that game was supposed to be out what, last fall?
Last sometime. Yeah, I don't know. Last year definitely, but I don't remember when. Let's see. So yeah, just figured I would mention that.
Come on, stick the dagger in.
I'm not there yet.
We're working on there.
I'm saying that's my grand finale. Fallout 4 has rolled out official mod support on PC and
coming soon.
Coming soon to Xbox One and then PS4 a month later, right?
Yes. Yeah. Sometime in May for Xbox One and June for PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. Playing through Steam can access the mod-centric updates straight away. Right-click on the game in your library, go to beta, select 1.5, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and the creation kit is out, so that means now everybody can actually use official mod tools.
I burned out on that real quick.
The mods or the game?
The game. I didn't even finish it. So.
Yeah, it's not a good game. Let's see. Okay, there's that. And then an interesting bit of news that mostly applies to Jeff and I is that Miyazaki of From Software has come out and just been like, yeah, Dark Souls is done.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an asterisk to that sentence, and we'll get to that, but basically he's come out and said that From is already working on a new IP. So it's not like a second Bloodborne or a fourth Dark Souls.
Dark Souls in space.
That's the hope, man. That's
space souls.
Like a different setting? That'd be cool, man.
I mean,
that'd
he said awesome. That he wanted to do a sci-fi game for a while. Nate worked in sci-fi games before they had gotten like famous for this sort of stuff.
Yeah, they had done all sorts of shit.
So the asterisk, though, is that he said that he won't
he's done
them anymore. But like, the B-team, like the Dark Souls 2 team, wants to do it, he's like, I'm not going to get in their way.
Here's the ultimate asterisk on that. There's going to be more Dark Souls games.
Yeah.
This franchise is too popular now. There's going to be more. But that's fine. I would love to see like what he does. Like I would hope that they do these style of games though, but with different settings and shit like that. Like,
well, not just that, but like I think at this point, like there's been 5 of this genre in such a small period of time that everybody knows how these games work. Almost to the detriment that like you would have to like either be like obfuscating this how the system works to the point of frustration again, or you'd have to like rebuild it from the ground up again. Because like I mean, Bloodborne people kind of already knew like 98% of that game before it came out because of just there had been Demon Souls, Dark Souls, and Dark Souls 2. You know, there was Insight, and some people were like, "Well, I don't know what Insight does," but otherwise, it was like, okay,
Or, like, the fact that you had to, like, parry or whatever, like, instead of using a shield, like, I don't know.
Well, that's combat, but I'm talking about, like, you know, half the fun of the Dark Souls is like, oh, what do these stats do? What do they affect? How does scaling work? This is that, like, you'd have to go in
there's
and
all sorts of, yeah, like, shit, yeah.
Reconfigure everything from the ground up, because if you just, like, slap a new skin on it, I don't think that will excite people as much.
The thing is, like, we don't know, like, if he, whatever he does next, it could be completely different. Like, they did fucking 3D Dot Game Heroes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It could be anything, but I really think that they found a successful formula that I personally just am in love with, and I would just love to see them do different genres with it, like, not just, you know, all, like, fantasy or whatever, like, just do whatever, go sci-fi, go horror.
It sounds like he might try and return to Armored Core at some point as well.
Yeah.
Which was their mech series that they did, but that'd be kind of cool. Let's see. Okay, so that's all the news. I don't feel like getting into, like, the Alex St. John stuff. That was so long ago at this point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, everybody who's, you know, anybody who cared about that has already heard about it, and the discussions have been endless. So, let's get to the fun stuff. Okay. There needed to be a beginning, middle, and end of the story, and I shuffled all the pieces, but I think this is what we're going to do. We're going to start with the good news. And the good news is that Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing are going to be coming to smartphones, which I think is genius, because...
I didn't even catch that news. It must got drowned out by other news.
Animal Crossing on smartphones sounds brilliant.
Yes.
I'll give you a better idea for Animal Crossing if you guys want.
Okay.
Okay.
Next system, the NX. It's an app on your system. Comes with it.
But wouldn't it just be easier to have it on your phone?
Yes. So you can take it everywhere, because it's like Pokemon. It's a mobile series.
I don't like it as a mobile. Like, I love the GameCube one the most. Like, I like playing it on my TV. I know I'm weird. I know no one else is like that. But what if you could transfer your character to your NX?
Sure.
I mean, that still sounds pointless, but okay.
Anyways, all right, go ahead.
All right, okay, so that's the beginning. That's like, you know, unfortunately, this story is a tragedy. you know, normally in stories, by the end, the hero wins. You know, they learn and they rise up.
Yeah.
In this case, the situation just gets worse and then keeps getting worse. Yeah, Nintendo profits down by 61%.
It's going to be worse than that in the next year, because there's nothing coming out.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, they said net profit for the fiscal year ending on March 31st was 16.5 billion yen, which only translates to $149 million, which is down 41.8 billion from last year.
Billion?
Yes. I'm talking like in yen. When I say billion, I mean in yen. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the conversion rate is, but basically it's due to, you know, the fact that hardware and software on...
Hey, our big holiday game is Animal Crossing board game.
How many billion did you say?
Last year they made 41.8 billion.
Okay.
This year they only made 16.5.
16.5.
Which is 149 million, according to IGN. That's the only number that they converted. I don't know what 41.8 is, but, I mean, that's a difference of 25.3 billion yen. You know? Like, it's quite a lot. So a lot of the news that we're talking about, by the way, came from their financial call, which happened yesterday, I believe. I mean, we know what's selling well, which are like amiibos and stuff, you know, and the figure type and card type amiibos have sold 24.7 million and 28.9 million units respectively. What other numbers are interesting in here? Nothing.
The number of tears that came out of my eyes.
God, I just soaked them. I bathed in them, and I actually gained 10 extra years on my life.
Dude.
Sales of the 3DS hardware and coming software were 6.79 million. Blah, 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 hard and software, blah, 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 blah. So hardware is 3.26 million on Wii U, which is not a whole lot. That's actually very low. Yeah. They only sold 3.25 million units over the past year. That's disgusting. Okay, so there's that. Now let's get to the interesting stuff. Okay, so
yeah.
The I told you so news is
no. This is where we're gonna have some contention here. All right, go ahead.
Because I told you so. I told you.
No. We'll get into it. But
that
go ahead.
They were going to delay Zelda out of this year, and that it would be another Twilight Princess, which is that it is launching on both the Wii U and the NX, and that it is no doubt. They claim that it is being delayed to improve quality, but that's a load of horse shit.
It's a lie. It's a lie.
It's being delayed so because if they release it early on Wii U, nobody has any reason to buy it when it's on the NX.
Yes.
Instead, they're going to just do what they did with Twilight Princess, where it comes out on the NX, and then 3 months later comes out on the Wii U.
And guess what? That has not happened yet, but I guarantee you now I'm going to back you on this, dude. You're right. They're going to do that. They have not said that, but they're going to do that.
See, Jeff's come to the light side again. He knows.
No. No, here's the thing. Everyone, the day that this dropped, everyone's like, oh, we totally saw this coming. This is what I saw coming. It being a simultaneous release. That was obvious, okay? But the fact that NX is not this year and that it's launching in March?
That's the other thing.
Who
called
that?
Okay, I'm sorry. When I said I called that, I was talking very specifically about the Zelda news, not about NX. NX,
tied
I didn't
into
have,
each other. Well, it's tied into each other because...
Yeah,
that's Zelda's gonna be released Zelda. 6 months late. It's gonna be released in 6 months late, and like,
but I when I was saying I told you so, I meant like when we would do power rankings, I would tease you about Zelda's not coming out this year.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah. To me, it was like the NX is coming out this year. It's gonna be a launch title. It's coming out this year. Like that's my opinion. Like that was my opinion on it. And the game is done, dude. Don't tell me it's not because. I saw a thing – I, like, researched this after I read this because I got so mad. And I saw an interview from March 10th where Anuma was – I think that's how you say it, Anuma.
Mm-hmm.
He was – he said, we're putting final touches on the game. I'm basically filling in dialogue boxes. That was a month ago. And you're going to tell me that they need another year to fill in dialogue boxes? And they're not going to do anything with it. They're going to add whatever stupid NX features are in it. I'm so upset. Like – it's so upsetting and just depressing.
Yeah, I mean, like, companies become. Well, but they follow the same playbook, and it's obvious. And this is just more telling that they have no faith in the Wii U as a system, and they can just use this as a springboard to try and get people interested in their new hardware.
But what pisses me off is like, from the rumors, like, do you follow Emily Rogers?
Mm-mm.
She has really strong Nintendo rumors that are like right, probably 85% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been talking up like the first year of that system is like it has more games than the Wii U had in its lifespan. She's like it is like they're like ready to go. So why do you
say that? And
Zelda as one more launch title?
There's maybe about 10 games on your hand like that you could consider buying for that system. But okay,
I guess. But like, what if within a year you got like all the heavy hitters? Like that's a strong proposition. I think
sure.
Like,
my hope is that by games that are ready to launch, it's not, you know, here's Batman Arkham Knight Armored Edition.
No, I'm like, they're going to have, like, Mario. They're going to have, probably not Metroid, but, you know, they're going to have, like, a lot of big games.
Well, Metroid's coming out in August already, Jeff.
Right. No, but I'm sorry. Like, if she's correct that they have such a strong lineup for first year, why do you need another, like port from the last gen.
I think it's because they don't expect Zelda to sell well on the Wii U anymore. So if they could get people to buy it on two different consoles as a software sales number, it will grow. Because like okay. Wii, you know, and I
they are in the that. Same. That's the same boat from the GameCube era. They did the same thing. And it's disappointing to me that they don't make Zelda enough of a priority. Well, I guess they did on GameCube because we got Wind Waker and that was fantastic. But, like, look at here. Zelda kind of skipped this generation now.
So did Mario.
No, Mario didn't. Mario had a real game and it was great. Like, I don't often say that this one was not, like, but I think people who've played it. Like,
3D World is an excellent game.
It's a great Mario
game. Is that the 3DS game? Or
No, that's the Wii U game.
Oh.
3D Land is the 3DS game.
I forgot
3D
about
World
3D World
is
entirely.
The Wii U game. Yeah, it's great.
There's people, who, and I think it's mostly people who haven't played it, will say, oh, that's not a true Mario game. But it absolutely is, and it's great. Like, and it works as a multiplayer game, too. Anyways, I don't even know where I was going anymore, but I'm so fucking mad.
Yeah, like, well, and then you were, like you were saying, the NX isn't launching until March of 2017. Like, they've nailed down that thing. And so, you know, I've been talking with a bunch of people about why this is, and I think it speaks to Nintendo's gun shyness. Like, so, you know, let's assume that in the fall after E3, let's assume E3 happens, and that's when Sony and maybe Microsoft announce their 0.5, like, half steps, and that those which will be coming out in the fall, and that Nintendo just doesn't want to have anything in their way.
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, there is hardware coming out in the fall. I'm getting the VR headset, which is, it's the price of a new system and more, right?
Sure.
I was going to get both, but most people would not do that, right?
Yeah.
And so I can see what you're saying, but at the same time, that's like, that shows, like, very little confidence in your product, dude.
Exactly.
If you can't compete with, like, a peripheral or, like, a slight upgrade to another console, what the fuck, man? Like,
no, I agree. And, I mean, I see that side, but my side is also then you're missing the holiday rush. And
exactly.
If you're releasing in March, like, that's a very fine window between when people are willing to spend that much money again after Christmas, you know?
Exactly, dude. Like, no matter what, holiday is the big release time. Like, that you want
to
talk
about. Yeah, I mean, they're missing Black Friday, essentially, you know?
And
like, that's
why? And it's like, I don't...
You know, at the same time, March 2017 doesn't have any hardware, and everyone will be solely focused entirely 110% on Nintendo.
That's the only thing.
Nothing distracting them.
That's got to be their thinking, right?
Yeah, I have to imagine that's what it is that they're just like, look, we've gotten the shit kicked out of us for the past 5 years, and we need to reevaluate our strategy, and so we're just going to stay out of the way of everybody else. Yes, we may take a hit, so we'll lower projections, and in March, everyone, like, we will own the game industry's attention.
They're owning a much smaller pie in March. Like, dude.
Oh, no, I agree with
you. The game industry, like, it's November through December. That's, like, 30% of the year. Like,
yes. No, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying, like, I get both sides, but I still think that missing holiday is what is going to be, like, their biggest misstep.
They're so stupid. They don't fucking get out of the, like, all right, and here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, like, that, like, really pisses me off. Like, and it's just, like, I guess it's, like, a minor thing, but it really upsets me, is they said going into E3 that the only thing they're going to focus on in E3 is Legend of Zelda, and they're not going to show the NX at E3.
Nope.
They're going to show it at a later event, and it's like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's coming out in March. You can't show it at E3? Like, give us
everybody, well, everybody keeps saying that this is indicative of, like, E3's waning relevance. And, like, the ironic thing...
irrelevant, there you go.
Well, the ironic thing about E3 is that, like, excuse me, while maybe getting less relevant in the gaming space, it's still... the only gaming event that outside publications pay attention to.
Yeah, CNN will cover it or whatever, you know.
Exactly, like USA Today does things, Entertainment Weekly or, you know, New York Times and stuff like that. They look to E3 because that's the only time that they have to pay attention to video games. They're not going to send people to, you know, I mean, for Nintendo they might, but I mean, you know, they're not going to send people to like Activision's little thing or the EA Play event that they're having like a day before E3 and stuff like that. Like, they know their audience doesn't care that much about it, but, you know, every once in a blue moon in the summer, their audience may be like, oh, well, that's right, a new Nintendo's coming out. Cool. So, yeah, I think, you know, I also don't think anybody, you know, everybody's interested in Zelda, but who wants to spend a 45-minute direct just looking at Zelda?
We already know it exists, and they've been telling us that it exists, and they've been telling you it's been coming out next year for five fucking years.
We've seen, like, what, a total of, like, a minute and a half of footage of Link riding around on a horse in a quote-unquote open world. Like, I get that, well, they'll like, dive deep in maybe, like, the story and some of the characters and this and that, but, like, what's more depressing is that that's the only game they'll show, and it's not even coming out this year. Like,
yeah,
my hope is that there'll be at least some...
There's nothing else coming out this year, so...
They might have Paper Jam coming out, and that's fine, but it's not, like, that's not a huge release. Like,
no, I mean...
People like that series, I do, but what, you know, I'll get it. But dude, at the very least, come to E3 and tell us what your plan is. Don't, like, what they're doing is just,
well, Reggie's going to come out in that direct, and he's going to do say the exact same thing that he said in the last direct, where it's like, hey, today, you know,
we're focusing on what's coming out soon.
Exactly, which is ironic because they're not.
It's not.
We're all very excited for the release of Nintendo's next home console, but today we're here to talk to you about the new Legend of Zelda game.
And it's like, dude, I should be playing this motherfucker last year. Fuck you. Like, and we know it's fucking done now. It should be coming out this fucking year. It's a slap in the face to Wii U people. Like, people who bought Wii U like me from the beginning. And I've bought every single fucking game that they've made on it, almost. And they're doing this to me, like, where I have to wait until the next, they're ready to try to get their act together again. And they're not. They're going to fuck it up again. Perhaps,
like, inferior version, if it runs better on the NX hardware.
Yeah, what I just think that...
Chris,
I'd be surprised if they turn it around with the NX too. I really would at this point. Like, it just seems like they don't fucking get it, dude. Like, you don't go on E3 with one game. At least give us give us something to get excited about at the very least. If you're not going to release anything this year, I'm so disappointed and upset as a Nintendo fan. It sucks. All right, I'll shut up, Chris.
What did you ask, Pete?
I what your thoughts are, because, I mean, you haven't said anything, so I'm just curious what your point of view on this is.
I just think it's nuts. Like,
it's terrible.
It's like as somebody who owns a Wii U, it's like, what am I doing with it the rest of the year? Like,
yeah.
Like, and do I unhook it now? Like,
I mean, you may as well.
Like, outside of, like, Mario Maker, like, why do I have it this year? Like, they're still supporting that pretty well, and I don't get it. Like, this makes zero sense to me. And I think I follow a couple people on Twitter, but I think it actually came from CheapyD that he posted something following up another one stating that, you know, the Wii U sales are what, they're about 12 million? Total, sure. For worldwide.
That sounds about right.
And 3DS is at 55 or something like that, which is fine. I mean, 55 million units is not anything small, but when you compare it to what they did
with the DS,
their last iterations, like the Wii did, what, over 100 million, and
dude,
the DS did 155.
The GameCube did like 30 million, and the GameCube was a failure.
Right.
It's this is the worst, and the thing I don't
actually really, I think the GameCube did like 20 million, but it's like 22, okay, or something like that.
That was a dismal failure, and this is half that.
Yeah,
And I think that the thing that I don't get is I really actually do like the Wii U. I do like it, so I don't think it's like they put out a bad product. It's just They're not supporting it well. Like they while there are fantastic games for Wii U, there's not the big ones that I want, and there was absolutely like no third party support after the first year.
I mean,
right? Yeah, I mean, I don't actually think, like, if you were to look on a release schedule, I don't think anything else is coming out for the system now.
No, there's like the Lego games are coming out.
Oh, and there is a
Paper Mario.
They are bringing a like Japanese RPG over.
I mean, it's not surprising that third parties abandoned them as quickly as they did, because they stopped kind of making games for the 360 and the PS3, and that's where that system is power-wise. Like, the games that third parties are making, like, if they're gonna make them, they're gonna make them for the Xbox One and the PS4. Like, they can't port that to the Wii U, so...
That's another mistake that they keep making. Like, just do things right. Like, that's why I don't get. How hard is it to see how to do things like the right way?
You don't need to be competitive. Like, you don't need to compete. Like, if you honestly think that your system is not a competitor to the PS4 and the Xbox One, that's fine. I mean, that's crazy talk, because you're all in the video game industry. But if you think you are like in a different kind of area than that, that's fine. But your systems, if you want third party support, they need to be on par power wise. Like, they need to be able to play the stuff that is being made for those systems.
Now, here's what I wonder about the NX is that, like, it's released halfway through the cycle of the Xbox One and PS4. Like, are they only going to run the system for 4 years and in order to keep power parity? Or are these half steps going to unintentionally extend the generation again so we have, like, another 7 or 8 year long generation?
This cycle's all fucked now. I think we're going towards the Apple model. Like, we're fucked. I really do think, like, it's going to be updates whenever the fuck they feel like.
I mean, that's fine. I'm just curious, like, from, like, Nintendo's purely point of view. Like, if this is power parity with the Xbox One and PS4 now, like, does that only matter for the next 3 years?
I just think they don't get it. They just don't. They still think the same thing that... We don't have to be powerful. It doesn't matter. As long as games are good, it's good.
Well, and they also... Because they for some reason, they don't think third-party support matters. But they also want to make, like... They feel their gimmick is good enough, right? Like, oh, the gamepad will be what draws people in. Like,
and they feel that there has to be a gimmick there. I understand. Look, when they were trying to just do traditional and compete against the other two, they were struggling. Those are different days. Just do things right.
But really? Because, when they were doing things traditionally, they were at the top of their game. Like, the last time that they did things traditionally was what? The
N64 or GameCube?
I wouldn't even say that. Arguably
the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo was the last time that they did things normal. Like,
and now that I think about it, you're right. Like, because, like,
the N64 was different.
They had to be different. They had to be different with the optimal disc for the GameCube. For no reason.
I say that ironically that, like, the N64 was too traditional.
But
it was still cartridge based.
The PlayStation had already come out at that point when the N64 launched. So
they refuse to accept where things are going. They always do. And it just accept where things are doing and do it better than other people. And you have that amazing first party library. Like, that's all you have to do, and you'd be fine. Like, maybe you wouldn't be on top every generation, but you would be successful. And they just refuse to see the light. Like, there always has to be a gimmick. Like, oh, we always have to have a new controller. We have to have to do that. Like, no. Dude, the PlayStation has been very successful throughout its lifespan the last 20-some years. And it's always just a console with a controller. And, yeah, there's peripherals, but, like, they don't reinvent the wheel each time.
No, and like, you look at the Saturn and the PlayStation, the original PlayStation, were the N64's direct competitors. They launched 2 years before the N64 came out.
Oh shit! I didn't realize there was much time between.
And they were both disc based with standard controllers, and the N64 came along with a cartridge based system, And, you know, the N64 controller is fine, but definitely different than everything else out there.
I wouldn't say it's even fine, but yeah.
I mean, it was fine for the games that we played on the N64, right? Like, maybe. Maybe we're remembering it wrong, but I remember it being okay for what we were playing. And then they do their weird, what was it, the GD-ROM for the GameCube? Like... and that weird controller.
I like that controller. Just throwing it out there.
It's fine.
No, that controller is great.
It's better than the Wii. It's better than the Wii one.
Well, yes. Then they tried to go even further back and really weird. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing here.
They don't know what they're doing anymore. I honestly don't think. Like, I just. Because, like I said, it's just so easy to see, like, the right things that they could do and have more diversity in your library and cater to the fans and also try new things. But they're just, like, we can't handle everything we have to do. And also, we can't apparently work with third parties and make a system that works for that. Like, what the fuck, dude?
Right.
Fuck you, Nintendo.
It's like, here's the thing. You need to be able, for as dumb as it is, you need to be able to get Madden and Call of Duty on your system.
Yeah.
Like, and the Wii U got what, Black Ops 2. Yeah,
one of each.
And, like, a shitty version of Madden. Like, actually, probably a shitty version of Call of Duty, too. I mean, I guess it was okay, but... Why? At that point, nobody had bought those games, so it's like... You need to have, you need to be able to get those types of games on there. And if you don't, you're just not going to be able to pull in third parties, because why are they going to spend money putting shit on your system? Yeah. I don't know where we're going here. It's scary. I am very scared for this NX.
I'm very worried about Nintendo, actually, as a whole. I really am. And it just, honestly, dude. They could show something else besides Zelda at E3. Like, that to me, it just makes me go, man, they just don't understand how to do a goddamn thing anymore, you know?
Right.
Like, get excitement going at the very fucking least.
And they still have their big booth. Like, all you're going to show in there is Zelda? Like, that's really weird.
And their, like, explanation was, we wanted to offer complete immersion. Fuck off, dude. What are you talking about?
And on some level, I feel bad for, like, you know, Reggie and the Nintendo of America people, because
they have to, like,
yeah,
shit.
They have to explain it to us, like, hey, our crazy, you know, the ones in Japan, that this is what they want.
Yeah.
We don't want this. We want what you want. But they're not giving it to us.
Dude, it's gonna be a dark year, so like, we'll see. I'm sure Zelda will be great, but it's just like, dude, get your act together. Fuck, I hate you. I hate them right now. So angry.
And you're never getting another Metro again.
I kind of feel like I'm not, like, unless you want to count that stupid one,
the soccer game.
Yeah.
It's a sad, sad state of affairs.
Rest in peace, Nintendo.
I don't know if I'm ready to kill put dirt on them yet.
But. We'll see what, like, honestly, just, like, if they came to E3 and at least gave us hope for next year, I'd be like, alright, that's cool. Like,
it just seems so weird to not, like...
It doesn't make sense.
Even if you're not really gonna go in-depth on your system, like, you would think you would give us a little bit of an idea of what it's gonna be.
Get something concrete out into the atmosphere. Like, otherwise we're just gonna be speculating on forever, and it's so dumb. It's such a bad move. Hopefully they reconsider everything that they're doing right
it's
now.
It's a dark time for video games right now. Like, Nintendo's off the rocker. Sony is planning, like, some weird
tons of different hardware for no reason. Like, they're gonna compete with their own hardware in the fall, possibly.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
And anger people that have already bought the system, like, recently. And then who knows what the hell Microsoft's doing. Like,
yeah, no idea.
Weird rumors about maybe an Xbox Slim. Like,
I gotta say, I went from being, like, really excited about the C3 to Nintendo ruining. Nintendo was, like, kind of ruined all of that, and then there's, like, the other things you've mentioned that kind of, like, pile on top where you're like, I don't know, man. We're going to see where this is going to go. It's going to be scary.
Well, I definitely feel I don't need – I was taking off both Monday and Tuesday for E3. I feel I don't need to take off Tuesday anymore.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Like, all unless right. I just want to use it as, like, a resting day.
Sure.
Yep.
I mean, that's it for news, so I don't know if we got any questions or anything, or if you want to call
it. I do not.
Yeah, I don't think anything came in this week, but we'll be back next week. Hopefully Tony will be back. He can tell us about his Quantum Break excursion, and believe he is getting Hitman Episode 2.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
I have not heard anything, so it looks cool, though. And all of Tony's videos from the first episode were great, so there's a lot of really cool things going on there.
Cool.
And then we're very, very close to Uncharted, so
yeah.
So I guess we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.